The National League wild card is heating up. Let's talk about it on a special Saturday edition of First Pitch. Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch, your MLB daily recap here on YouTube and everywhere you listen to audio. We're sponsored by the Inside Baseball Podcast Network. You can find us, as I mentioned, really anywhere you listen. I'm really excited to talk about some more baseball today. We had a full slate. Well, almost a full slate. We had a rain delay. Should have had a full slate. We got 14 games here on Friday, but we got a lot to talk about here on our second Saturday episode of the season. As we mentioned last Saturday, we're going to be coming to you every single Saturday the rest of the way this season. I'm joined by Troy Brock. You can find Troy on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. You can always find me on Twitter at Christian S. Rau, R-A-U-H. Troy, what's going on? Happy Saturday. We're getting a little late started today. As you can tell, the bag's under my eyes. I probably didn't have the best sleep. Some of that has to do with watching baseball, has to be watching the Tigers lose in extra innings to the Oakland A's. I think we can finally put them to bed. But other than that, you know, it's been a good week. How about you, man?
Yeah, man. Been a good week. Been a good baseball week. So
I'm ready. It's been a great baseball week, especially for you. You being a Philadelphia Phillies fan, they're just absolutely crushing it. We'll talk about that later on in the show. I'm going to make you wait because there's no way I'm going to start and lead off the Phillies with this. That would just not be fun for me. I like having anticipation for you. So
we can't just talk about the Phillies all day?
We can't. No, we talked about this, Troy, the first time I had you on, that there's more than baseball than the Philadelphia Phillies. And that's exactly where I want to start, is more than baseball. But we'll stay in your division. We'll talk about some other teams. I know that like they're your absolute favorites, not your rivals, not the teams that you dislike the most. And let's talk about this rest of this National League wildcard race. And the two teams that are really sticking into it are the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets. And it's really the only race left in all of baseball, if you will. In the National League, they are tied for the final spot in the National League wild card, 77-64. The Mets are 9-1 in their last 10 games. They had to win in extras yesterday against the Cincinnati Reds to continue that little streak. Now they're winning 8 in a row. Insane what the Mets have been doing. The Atlanta Braves, they just won their first game. They're starting a new streak after losing the series finale to the Colorado Rockies. They did win the series. And then they won the series opener yesterday against the Toronto Blue Jays. Max Fried threw an absolute gem. For the New York Mets, Mark Vientos hits two home runs, one of them being a walk-off to seal the deal in extra innings. Out of these two teams, before we start really digging into them, who are you most impressed with over the last, let's say, month?
Over the last month, I've got to say the Mets, especially what they're doing with this 8-game winning streak, 9 of their last 10. They have really turned it on at the right time, especially Francisco Lindor. I mean, he's entered MVP conversations over the last month. They have been really impressive over the last month, and it's, like I said, they've just turned it on at the right time.
I'm glad you brought up Lindor, and you mentioned personally, you know, in some MVP talks. We've had that conversation over the last couple weeks, Lindsay and I. Do you think there's an actual chance that he could be named MVP, or is that just the fact that Shohei Ohtani's in his league, there's just no chance? Or do you think there's a possibility because he actually plays defense? There's a running conversation, a running debate among many baseball fans that he deserves to be more in that conversation because he plays a primary defensive position as well.
I think a lot of the older school writers will give him a little more of a nudge because of the defense, but what Shohei's doing and honestly what Marcell Ozuna's doing, in my opinion, I think Lindor's best shot at it is third place. He's turned it on too late. He had too rough of a start. His OPS is roughly 850 without having it pulled up, and Ozuna and Otani's OPSs are near one dots. So I'm a hitting guy. Otani and Ozuna clearly are the runaways for me.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair. I'm with you with the Otani part. I can see him possibly jumping Ozuna, and it's not that I don't believe in Ozuna. I think he's been the MVP of his team, therefore making him one of the most valuable players in all of baseball. If you took Shohei Ohtani away from the Dodgers, I think they're still good. If you took Lindor away from the Mets, I don't know how well they'd be, but as you mentioned, what he had at the beginning of the season. But if you took Marcell Ozuna away from the Atlanta Braves, there's be no way that the Braves would be in the position they're in right now, especially the way that they started at the beginning of the season. Continue with the rest of the Mets here. Mark Vientos, as I mentioned, two home runs in the game against the Cincinnati Reds to take over and to win the game yesterday on a walk-off for a second one. In only 90 games, Troy, let me make sure I'm right, 91 games now. In only 91 games, Vientos has 24 home runs. Are we seeing a star in the making here for this third baseman for the New York Mets?
Yeah, if he can keep it up, it seems like the bright lights in New York aren't troubling him any. And with Pete Alonso soon to be probably out of the picture in New York, they've got Mark Vientos stepping up at the right time and showing the pop at the corner.
Yeah, you got to love what you're seeing from him. And he's no small guy either. So, I mean, he's used to seeing these lights, I would say, because there's no way he can hide. 6'4", 185. This guy's a big dude. And he's not Aaron Judge big, but he is big. 2017 New York Mets second rounder, finally starting to see what we expected of him. He made his debut a couple of years ago, but this is the year that he's finally starting to step up. In those 90 games, 905 OPS. This is going to be a wild ride for the rest of September, because when you think one of the teams are about to lose, they wind up winning. And then you look at the other score and they find a way to win the game as well. The Atlanta Braves, you know, won their game on a gem from Max Fried yesterday, winning against the Toronto Blue Jays 3-1. The offense started to pick it up a little bit, but they still have some work to do, in my opinion. The Braves bullpen has been lights out. I think other than the Cleveland Guardians, I think you can say that they're the best bullpen in baseball. They might even be better than the Guardians right now, like in the last 2 weeks of a stretch. And then these New York Mets, they just don't stop losing. I'm sorry, they don't stop winning. my intrusive thoughts came out there. Who's going to flinch first, Troy? Who's going to flinch first?
I think it all comes down to the strength of schedule. The Mets have 7 left against the Phillies alone. Not to bring up the Phillies again, but the Mets have 7 left against the Phillies alone, and that's in itself is tough. They've got the third hardest schedule in baseball. They've got the Phillies, they've got the Brewers, and 3 against the Braves. So honestly, I think that the Mets could scuffle down the stretch with that hard schedule, because their last 10 are against the Phillies, Braves, and Brewers.
That's a wild 10 games. Now, the Brewers might be in looking forward to playoff mode, but then again, they might not be, because maybe they'll be looking to try and pick up one of those, you know, those buys in the playoffs. If not, maybe they change the rotation. That could be helpful for the Mets, but regardless, that is a tough stretch down the line. The second to last series of the season is the Braves against the Mets. Do you think that we will not have a decision on who is making the wild card until that series, or do you think we'll get it decided before then?
I think what's best for baseball is not having a decision until that series.
Oh yeah. Could you imagine? Yeah. I think that would be wild to have, especially because every other playoff, you know, thing is really, other than positioning, is really already determined. In the American League, you have maybe a couple AL Central teams that are going to swap places. You don't know what's going to happen between the Orioles and the Yankees and who's going to win that division. But for the most part, you know who is going to make the dance. For the NL wild card, we're still deciding, is it the Braves? Is it the Mets? Or could maybe both of them make it in? And we see a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks fall. They're only a game and a half above both those teams, and they have kind of fell on a little bit of a skid lately. They are returning some players. We'll talk about that later on at Quick Pitch. But is there a possibility? Is there a chance? This is a scenario we won't really discuss. Is there a scenario that both the Braves and the Mets can make the postseason?
It could happen. Like you said, the Diamondbacks have been on a skid of late. They're 4-6 over their last 10. It could definitely happen, and that would definitely make October baseball even more interesting to have 3 National League East teams in the mix.
Yeah, it'd be what we expect, right? Something that we'd assume would happen if more towards beginning of the season projections. All right, let's flip over to the American League real quick before we hop back over and talk about your Phillies, because something came up yesterday, and you and I talked offline about it prepping for this show, and I felt like we needed to discuss it. And it's not anything that happened in games yesterday, but it was just, to me, just a bizarre comment. Yankees' Brian Cashman came out and said that the reason that Jason Dominguez was not called up during the 28-man call-up in September was that he believed that Alex Verdugo, their outfielder currently, puts them in a better position to win. Now, I went on the show a couple days ago and mentioned that that is absolutely not true if you look at numbers and if you think that the numbers will translate correctly from AAA to the majors. His defense is better and so on and so forth. But the fact that you also brought it to my attention meant that I wanted to bring up this conversation again. So, Troy, I know that you have no problem with Yankee slander. So why don't you go ahead and let me know what your thoughts on this conversation was? Because I thought it was absolutely wild.
I'm not still salty from 2009. Dominguez is better than Alex Verdugo. From what Dominguez has done in the minor leagues to compared to what Alex Verdugo has done in the majors, as you said, if it translates over, Dominguez gives the Yankees a clearer, more better opportunity to win. I don't know if the organization is just flat out lying and just telling people, hey, you know, this is what we think about it. And it's not really what they think, just to keep Alex Verdugo's head from spinning. But, or if they're just that incompetent of an organization. And it's wild to say about the Yankees, because the Yankees have 27 World Series in their history, to think that they could be that just incompetent about baseball is wild. Dominguez this season in the minor leagues, 315, 375, 511 for an 886 OPS. And if that translates over, that is hands down far and away better than anything Alex Verdugo has done this season for the Yankees.
Yeah, even if he loses 100 points on that OPS, translating up to the majors and, you know, adjusting, because, you know, there's going to be some sort of adjustment period. And that is a risk to take in September, sure. It's not like it's going to be the first time he ever sees the major leagues, though. But even if he loses 100 points, it's still going to be better than Alex Verdugo this season. We know what we have. We know what you have from Alex Verdugo. Right now, he's a 645 hitter OPS. He has a 236 average. You're not really getting much production from him. And you can't tell me that you don't think Jason Dominguez is a better defender than Alex Verdugo. I just don't understand where you're sitting at this point. You haven't won the World Series since 2009. And you're in a spot where everybody is discussing and saying that the New York Yankees are in win now mode. I think that's absolutely true. What you have done, you have possibly the only year of Juan Soto, possibly. He could be back. He could not be. We'll see what happens in the offseason. There's no way he signs that extension. He's a Boris guy. But this is the possibility of being the only year of Juan Soto. Aaron Judge is continuing to do his thing, although he's kind of slumped a little bit lately. But regardless of those aspects right there, you're still going to put out a guy like Alex Verdugo, or a platoon with Verdugo and Grissom. I'll even throw them out there because that platoon's not great. And think that adding a young guy in your 28-man roster is not worth the squeeze. The fact that they didn't even do it or give it a shot right now to see if it's a good idea for the postseason just baffles me. Because it's like, here are two extra roster spots to determine something to help you make a decision for the postseason. And you decide not to take it. I just don't understand it. Because if you're in all in, why aren't you making those kinds of, to me, not even a high-risk move to make that happen? So I just don't understand it. I don't know what you're doing, Cashman. I don't know what you're doing, Boone. But in my mind, if they don't win the division, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
The pitching has not been exactly what you've been expected. Now, Gill just came back from the injured list. He looked pretty good in his last start. I'll give you that. But can it translate? Marcus Stroman, there's a possibility that we could see him in the rotation for the first time. The bullpen for the first time in his career. How will that work? We'll even enjoy that. You know, I made the joke in our Discord over on First Pitch, and someone told me that if I said that on Twitter, I might get blocked by him. So we gotta be careful. We're treading water here, Troy. But regardless, I just don't understand why the Yankees would make this move, why they wouldn't make this move. And I'm going to go out and say, and I don't know if it'll happen because I think a lot of people have been calling for this for a few years now. If the Yankees lose whatever round they play first, if they don't win that series, I think it's time that you have to move on from Aaron Boone, and I think possibly Brian Cashman as well.
I completely agree with you. I think, honestly, it's probably been past time to move on from both of them. But, yeah, I completely agree with you.
All right, let's finally do it. I'll give in. Let's finally talk about it. Let's talk about those Philadelphia Phillies. And I mean, they're worth talking about right now. They just went on a wild game on Friday, defeating the ever so tough Miami Marlins 16-2. But Zach Wheeler had a great outing. 22 hits for the Philadelphia Phillies to get 16 runs. I mean, what an outing by this team. They are on a great stretch right now as well. A lot of people aren't paying attention to them as much as everyone else because, you know, they've got, you know, the National League East in the bag. There's not a wild card race for them to talk about. They now currently hold the best record in the National League, 85-56. They're currently going to be the number one seed, 8-2 in their last 10 on a 6-game winning streak. I know you're having a good week from this, Troy. Take me through that Phillies game and just your thoughts in general about how this Phillies team looks over the last couple days and moving forward for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and let me correct you real quick. Not just the best record in the National League, the best record in baseball.
Oh, okay.
As a whole. That's true. Over the last 15 days, the Phillies, they've turned it around. That slump, that extended slump that they were in post-All-Star break is gone. That's a distant memory now. That's a completely different team now. Over the last 15 days, the Phillies lead baseball in OPS with an 864 team OPS. Kyle Schwarber has turned it around from his August struggles. He's hit, five home runs over the last 3 or 4 days? And the 16-2 drubbing of the Miami Marlins in yesterday's game is just – it's clear that this team has figured it out. And that's even also with Bryce Harper not having the power. He's still got gap-to-gap power, but he doesn't have home run power with his elbow issues that he's been dealing with. And he went 3-for-4 yesterday. Trey Turner hit a home run in Miami yesterday. And it's hard to hit a home run in Miami, and Trey Turner's not really a home run guy. And he hit a home run in Miami yesterday.
You put a piece out, one of your final pieces before moving on from Athlon, talking about Trey Turner and stating how he isn't the best piece for the Philadelphia Phillies, you know, in comparison to what most people might think of. And he seems to have made you a liar over the past couple of weeks. Would you say that's correct?
I have a tendency of when I say things, the opposite happens, especially if I put it in writing. So he's definitely done very well over the past few weeks since that piece came out.
Sounds like you need to put something in writing saying it's a terrible idea for the Yankees to call up Jason Dominguez.
You know what? I might just do that.
It might just have to do it. Looking at this Phillies team the rest of the way, I mean, how can you not be excited for them? There's probably going to be a time where we don't see this lineup, you know, in the next 20 or so games. It'll probably only be the next 15 games. You'll probably see a nice break from this team. And then they'll arguably have a bye moving into the postseason. We have seen that be an issue before. Last year, for example, the Atlanta Braves had that couple days off, and then they go and take on those Phillies, and they looked pretty rough. Are you nervous in any way, shape, or form about the Phillies taking a bye week before that postseason play starts?
I am a little nervous after what happened after the All-Star break. But on the other hand, I think the Phillies need it with how banked up they are and how many guys they have playing through injuries. Alec Bohm just hit the IL yesterday with his injury. After he got hit by the pitch the other day, they kept him on the bench and they didn't put him on the IL for like 5 days. But now he's on the injured list and he'll be out for a week or two. And Bryce Harper should be on the injured list. So I think it could go either way, honestly. I know that's a bad audio answer, but it could go either way. The time off will help the guys heal up, but after the All-Star break, the time off could also help them lose their groove.
So there's a lot of really good starting pitching on this Phillies squad. A lot of them made the All-Star game. I think they broke a record for most All-Stars for the Phillies this season. But when you get to the postseason, usually they'll talk about the top three in the rotation because you usually only go to three. Zach Wheeler, obviously, probably going to be the runner-up for Cy Young. There's a chance he could still chase Chris Sale. In my mind, I think Chris Sale's got in the bag. I know you're still throwing up hope for Wheeler, and I think you should. I don't think it's completely over yet. Aaron Nola, obviously there. But who's number three, Troy? Is it Ranger Suarez or is it Christopher Sanchez?
I think it's got to be Ranger Suarez. Ranger Suarez has that postseason pedigree already with what he's done in the postseason the last 2 years. I think that if the Phillies do need a four Christopher Sanchez is a fantastic option to be a four because he would be a two or a three on most other teams in the playoffs. But I think it's got to be Ranger Suarez with his postseason track record.
I think I agree with you on that one. And he's starting to come back from the injured list. He looked really good in his last start. I think what he went five scoreless.
Yep.
I think I'm right there. But what a good problem to have.
Right. Absolutely.
All right, let's get into quick pitch. We got a little couple things to talk about before we get you on your way on this Saturday. And what we're going to start with is the Colorado Rockies. That's exactly where you knew I was going. The Colorado Rockies defeat the Milwaukee Brewers 3-2 on Friday night. But the way they did it was really insane. Breton Doyle made one of the most impressive throws I have seen in probably this, I would say at least this season, to win the game. Check it out.
This is a high fly ball to center. Doyle and back. Here's a throw to third.
Gone on the gun.
Out at third. On the gun. Ball game over. You do not run on Breton Doyle.
You do not run on Breton Doyle. I mean, and I think that's a really safe thing to say after seeing that throw. That was an absolute bullet. It was a dart. It was exactly right on target what you needed to see for the Rockies to win 3-2. This Rockies team obviously is not in playoff contention in any way, shape, or form, 53-89, but they defeat the NL Central leaders in this game. Anything can happen in baseball, regardless of the record. There are some interesting young players on this Rockies team moving forward. What are your thoughts, real quick, about this Rocky squad? Can they finally turn it around? Like, do you think they have enough pieces right now, or do you think they're still just way behind everybody else in the NL West?
I think they've got a long way to go in the NL West between the Dodgers, Padres, Diamondbacks, and I think the Giants are even pretty close, especially after that Matt Chapman extension. But what Breton Doyle did in that game last night was fantastic. It was insane. And honestly, it's what he's been doing all season. He leads baseball in average miles per hour on his throw at 97.7 miles per hour. And that's on 480 throws, 97.7 miles per hour. He also is 14th in all of baseball, every position, an ounce above average with 12. And Breton Doyle, even if the rest of the Rockies still have a long way to go in the NL West, I think Breton Doyle is right up there with the rest of the NL West, if not above, especially on defense.
Yeah, last year he got the call up and made some moves, and people started to know him because of his defense. His defense is obviously still immaculate this season, but his bat is starting to wake up as well this year, and he's starting to turn into a really good player. I'm interested to see and excited to see what the Rockies can build around this younger core. Ezekiel Tovar, Doyle, you know, Nolan Jones, just to name a few. That's an interesting young core that you could build around, but we know that the Rockies do things their own way, and I mean that, and I think I mean that in a respectful way. I think I do, because it's just an interesting way that they do it. You think that they would, I mean, we're talking a couple years ago, they thought they were a playoff team. You remember that? That the owner went on air to say that they're a playoff team. They didn't even come remotely close.
Right.
I don't know if they're just completely blind to where they need to be, or they're just trying to fill the seats the best they can. I don't know what's happening, but regardless, they have a really young core and it's really fun to watch. And I hope that they can build around it and make this team competitive again, because when they were competitive, this is about, you know, almost 10 years ago now, but I think the last time they're competitive, they had a young DJ LeMahieu. They had Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story. That was a very fun team to watch. And Charlie Blackmon, when he was, you know, in his younger years, the beard was still there, obviously. But that was a fun, that was one of those teams where when fantasy baseball was just starting, like DraftKings baseball, like, and you picked those players as your stack, you know, like that was a really fun time to watch baseball in Colorado. And I hope for the fans there, because there's some pretty loyal fans. You look at those seats and they're filled compared to some of these other teams that are in losing right now. For the sake of those fans, I hope they come back.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, speaking of people coming back, we had two returns yesterday, both in the same game. Kyle Tucker finally returns. Holy cow, didn't know that Kyle Tucker still existed. And Ketel Marte returns as well for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Both of them return. Both of them go 0 for. Ketel Marte, 0 for 3. He did have a walk, And Kyle Tucker goes 0-for-2. He also did have a walk. So they might reach base, but they didn't get any hits. Regardless, let's play a quick little this or that. Who is most important moving down the stretch? Is it Ketel Marte for the Diamondbacks, or is it Kyle Tucker for the Houston Astros?
I think if you look at the standings right now, it's got to be Ketel Marte for the Diamondbacks. They're the Astros pretty much have the West locked up, and even if they don't get the West, they're going to have a wild card spot. The Diamondbacks, they're kind of slipping lately, and I think they need Ketel Marte to get in that lineup and help them get back on track and hold tight to that wild card spot that they do have right now.
Kyle Tucker had an amazing beginning of the season. I didn't even know he played this many games. I brought it up yesterday, but he played 60 games before his injury, and he had 19 home runs and 40 RBIs in just those 60 games. That's an incredible stretch. If he can even give you half of that for the rest of the month of September, I think that could be a huge asset for the Astros and possibly move them into, you know, contention to maybe be one of those bye week teams. But I agree with you. I think Marte is the most important piece because they are slipping right now in those National League wildcard standings. And if he's been arguably one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball all season, so having him back will be absolutely huge. Our last piece here before we head out, one more person returning here, Troy, and that's Trevor Story coming back for the Boston Red Sox. He's going to return. Looks like he's going to be in the lineup today against the Chicago White Sox. And is it too late for Trevor Story to make an impact for these Boston Red Sox to make it into the postseason? It's going to be a tough stretch to get there. They're currently 5 games out of the final spot in the wild card, 71-70. They have a really tough schedule ahead. With that being said, they're going to move Trevor Story back to shortstop. They're going to put Zibane Rafael to second base. So first question here, is it too late?
I think they're right on the cusp. I think that if they had waited a few more days, it might have been too late. And I honestly think they rushed him back. I don't think he got enough rehab starts from how long he was out. I think they rushed him back already. But I think if they would have done it a few days earlier, they would have rushed him back even more. I think that it's right on that line of being too late. They've got to pretty much come pretty close to winning out if they want to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, that schedule looks really tough down the rest of the stretch. And there's some really interesting teams and really tough teams ahead of them. Kansas City, Minnesota, really that AL Central trying to hold two of those wildcard spots. And I think we still shouldn't count out the Seattle Mariners, although they had a really rough stretch, you know, firing their manager. I think they're still going to hold on and try and find their way to fight into the wild card. So I do think that they are very close for me to sticking a fork in them. Very close. Yeah, I think right on the cusp is a good word. All right, Troy, where can everybody find you on social medias and what you got coming up this weekend? I know you're ready to talk some baseball. Probably watch some college football as well.
Yeah, we got to watch the Alabama Crimson Tide today. You can find me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. Tweet about baseball mostly. So about the Phillies mostly. And yeah, going to watch the football today, watch the Phillies and the Marlins later, and have a good weekend with sports.
Awesome. And as you mentioned, you can find him on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. You can find me on Twitter at Christian S. Rao. Lindsay's off today, but you can find him on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. Thank you for watching this episode of First Pitch. We'll be back here with another episode on Monday. Until then, you enjoy baseball, enjoy sports, and we'll see you back here for a brand new week of First Pitch.